Welcome to the Association of Schools and Colleges of Optometry's podcast series. ASCO produces podcasts on topics pertaining to the field of optometry, being or becoming a doctor of optometry, academic optometry, and more. Listen to our podcasts through the ASCO website at optometriceducation.org or ASCO's YouTube and iTunes channels. Today's podcast is on sports and vision therapy and how doctors of optometry can help with athletic performance and injury recovery. Our guest is Dr. Graham Erickson of Pacific University College of Optometry. Dr. Erickson's primary research is on sports vision. Dr. Erickson, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thanks for having me.
Tell us a little bit about the field of sports vision and how a doctor of optometry can directly help and improve the performance of an athlete.
Well, I think the first step is always that we have to recognize vision is often a critical part of sport performance, whether it's acuity-based or it's peripheral reaction-driven. That is the sort of majority of the cognitive processing in sport is coming through the visual system. And I look at optometry's role as, you know, kind of coming down to making sure that vision is not the reason that an athlete is not successful. There are plenty of professionals that address the physical side of sport and even the mental side of sport. And I look at optometry as being able to address the visual factors that impact performance in sports.
Are there specific therapies that a doctor of optometry might apply to a specific sport?
Well, I look at, there's kind of four main ways that we can optimize vision for athletes. And the first is refraction. You know, we need to do a careful refraction and determine if the athlete is seeing optimally or if some sort of refractive compensation would improve that. And then if we determine refraction is a pathway to seeing better, what's the best way to deliver that? Is it spectacle-based or more of a sport protective goggle? Is it contact lenses? What role does laser refractive surgery have in the correction of refractive error in athletes? So that's kind of step one, is let's optimize the refraction to get the athlete seeing the best. Number two would be filters, because often athletes are performing in bright light conditions and filters can help optimize the visual information they're seeing. And certainly optometrists are well positioned knowledge-wise to help athletes select the best filters for performance, where we're enhancing the visual information that's critical and perhaps muting the information that's more of a distraction and less helpful. Step three would be sports vision training, where we're looking at training activities that isolate and improve visual factors that are important for success in that sport, and trying to basically optimize and even improve an already good visual system to make it more competitive. And then option four, which doesn't really get as much attention, is nutrition. Because athletes typically think of nutrition in terms of building strength and endurance and perhaps speed. So it's more the physical side, again, that gets the attention in the nutrition category. But nutrition also affects vision. So is that athlete optimizing their diet or supplementation in order to see their sport the best? So those four avenues, refractive correction, filter use, sports vision training, and nutritional counseling, I think are the foundation for optimizing visual performance in athletes.
I would imagine swimmers have their own unique issues when it comes to taking care of their eyes.
Yeah, swimmers have particular challenges because they're in a water environment. And one of the main barriers is if they require vision correction, and it's obviously the best to put it in a contact lens rather than try to wear a correction in a goggle. Certainly you can wear correction in a goggle, but it means when your goggles are off, you don't see very well. So having the contact lenses and the goggle over the top, it tends to be the best. Unfortunately, our FDA does not approve contact lenses for use in water. But that said, almost every athlete that is either a swimmer or water polo player that I know wears contact lenses for their correction unless they've had laser refractive surgery. So then it's more a matter of educating them on best practices to avoid the or minimize the risks of infection. And that's why I love single-use lenses for these athletes, where they put in the contact lens, they go through their training or their competition, and 30 minutes after they are out of the water, they remove the lenses. And we wait 30 minutes so that the lenses will come off more easily than if they remove them immediately after being in fresh water. So that's kind of the, I think, one of the main challenges. They're also more at risk for getting infections because of pool water contamination. So we have to maintain a good relationship to monitor for that. And then on the training side, I often hear that swimmers don't have a very high visual demand, but if you think about where races are typically won and lost, it's in the turn. And the turn requires exceptional, sort of depth perception timing, whether it's making the turn or making the touch at the end of a race. So certainly there are elements that are training related as well.
Another sport, say hockey. Are there specific trainings and therapies for athletes like hockey players that require exceptional peripheral vision?
Yeah, and I think you can expand that to those team sport dynamics where you are processing central visual information. In other words, what you are looking at is important, and you're trying to process that. But simultaneously, you have to be aware of what's happening in your peripheral vision so that you can react accordingly to that information also. And those are two very separate streams of visual information that are being processed cognitively. And it's extremely challenging to do both simultaneously. In fact, I am kind of the opinion that you can't. You cannot really process both central and peripheral information simultaneously.
Interesting.
What you do is sort of toggle between the two. And that skill of being able to modulate attention between central visual information and your peripheral visual information is an asset. And that's where some of the training is set up to establish what I like to call a split attention type of training activity, where you're modulating between central and peripheral information. So you're trying to maintain central performance while also processing things that are occurring in your peripheral information or in your peripheral visual system, which for many athletes is extremely challenging when they start. But as they repeat those sort of trainings, they get better at being able to control that. And that is a powerful asset in competition, being able to get in that proper mental state to be able to utilize both central and peripheral information. So very critical in hockey, but also soccer, football, basketball, those team sports where you're really trying to monitor both things simultaneously.
When I was in Little League, I could never hit the baseball until my parents got me glasses. When is it time to get your kids checked out, your child athletes, as far as vision?
Well, I certainly think that if a child hasn't had an eye examination and they're school aged, it's probably wise to have a comprehensive eye examination, whether they suspect there is a problem or they're not sure if there is a problem. It's sort of a primary care approach to vision that really is no different than dental care. You don't really go to the dentist only when you suspect there's a problem. There's a certain amount of sort of preventative care that goes into that. And I look at that the same way. But in terms of the sport application, the other way I think of it is that there are often cases where the limiting factor for an athlete can be vision rather than physical limitations. Certainly, there are physical limitations that as you get older, you're not big enough, fast enough, strong enough to stay competitive. But sometimes you have athletes that have the physical attributes to be successful, but for some reason seem to not be able to be successful. And sometimes that's a vision reason. So what I find is a common sign is that athletes who have the physical attributes, who are coachable and train effectively, but just seem to not live up to their potential, or they hit a point in their sport where they're no longer able to be competitive, because often what it boils down to is the sport is moving too fast for them to be able to respond at the same level. I'll use your baseball analogy. Once the pitchers start being able to throw off-speed curveballs with good consistency and mask the delivery, that's when a lot of kids drop out of baseball, because they can't hit consistently anymore. Mm-hmm. Even though physically they may be able to hit just fine,
right,
but they can't read the pitch well enough to continue to be successful. That's a sign that vision may be the limiting factor. And an eye examination would help determine what aspects of vision may be impeding their success in their sport. And that would lead to more successful interventions.
We hear a lot about concussions in sports, especially in the news lately. What is the role of the optometrist when it comes to athletes who suffer concussions? And can an optometrist diagnose a concussion?
Well, I think diagnosing is a tricky term and probably best not made in isolation. And especially by an optometrist, I think we can suspect concussion and make a good referral to either a neurologist or neuropsychologist, and certainly the family physician for the athlete. And I think that optometrists are well positioned to recognize the signs and symptoms of concussion, but the diagnosis can be a fairly nuanced affair, and I think it is best made in collaboration with other professionals. Certainly there are visual symptoms that are common with concussion, and that's the role I think optometry can play, is to provide interventions for the successful treatment of those visual signs and symptoms that are caused by concussion.
After a player has suffered an apparent concussion, often we'll see a doctor on the sideline with his finger going back and forth in front of the player's eyes. What is that all about?
Well, what they're looking for is some tracking deficits. It's a fairly crude method for detecting some signs. There are slightly better tests, and then there are even better tests than that. The challenge is to have an effective sideline concussion assessment tool, because you want something that has a very high sensitivity and specificity for concussion, and that can be challenging. And certainly, I think that vision is part of that assessment battery, but it tends to be more neurocognitive in that initial assessment. And then there is the 24 to 72 hours after the incident, where sort of those neurocognitive effects reach their peak. So often you don't see as significant an impact immediately following the concussive episode, but you see more of an effect in 24 to 72 hours following. That tends to be sort of the window where the assessment tools have their best sort of strength for assessing concussion.
And of course, there are long-term effects from concussions and repeated concussions later on in life with Parkinson's-related type issues.
Yes, and that's why the sideline assessment is so critical, because if an athlete is allowed to continue to play and they have another concussive episode, the damage is really exponentially increased compared to if they just had a single episode. And having more episodes obviously damages the neurocognitive channels more than if you just had a single episode. So it is very important to identify and protect athletes as much as possible from these potentially lifelong changes to brain processing.
So when it comes to treating concussions, what is it that a doctor of optometry can do that, say, a general practitioner can't do?
Most of the time, the optometrist is not a sideline professional. They are sort of an after-the-event evaluator. most of the time, the decisions on return to play are not in the hands of the optometrist. They are other professionals, either the primary care physician or a neurologist, that has that final decision-making power to determine when an athlete has recovered enough to be able to return to play. And optometrists can be a valuable asset for helping those professionals make those decisions. Even though we may not be in the position to make that call ourselves, we can certainly provide support to the neurologists or family physicians to help them determine whether we feel like that athlete may still have significant visual symptoms that would prevent them from sort of being safe to return to play.
Really, really fascinating stuff. Dr. Graham Erickson of Pacific University College of Optometry, whose primary research is on sports vision. We really appreciate your time, but we have to ask one more question. What is your view of the future of optometry?
Well, I think that the area of sports vision training is one that's getting sort of better understood, better researched, and there are more recent innovations utilizing technology to allow us to have, I think, better efficacy in being able to integrate sports vision training into the overall conditioning and preparation for athletes. And that's where I see the future is looking at sports vision training less as a sort of medical model of, oh, let's identify a problem, fix the problem, and then you're all set. I look at sports vision training as preparation for competition, and it should be an integral part of training just like physical conditioning is. And in fact, there are methods that are very effectively woven into the strength and conditioning training the athletes already do. So we're not asking more time or athletes to go other places in order to get this care. It's all delivered as part of their preparation for competition. And I think that's the exciting horizon, is how optometry can better integrate with the sport community in providing the training aspect of performance.
Dr. Graham Erickson of Pacific University College of Optometry, whose primary research is in sports vision, thank you very much for being with us today. And thank you for your contribution to today's ASCO podcast, How Doctors of Optometry Can Help with Sports Performance and Recovery.
Thanks for having me.
For more information, visit optometriceducation.org.